The time is here. We're starting to see the articles of impeachment now being filed. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Trish Regan Show. I am Trish. It's great to have you here. Just a quick reminder, make sure you subscribe to this channel if you're watching on video. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast if you're listening to the full audio download available on Apple iTunes and on Spotify. Anyway, I want to get to this news just coming out this week. Republican Representative Bob Gibbs out of Ohio has just introduced articles of impeachment against Joe Biden. He did this on Tuesday, and according to an exclusive report in the Washington Examiner, he did so in part because of the U.S.-Mexico border problem. We're going to get to that because there are new developments that you need to hear about. Because of that, and also because of the president's, well, I don't know quite how else to say it other than disastrous removal of U.S. troops out of Afghanistan. Speaking to the Washington Examiner, Mr. Gibbs said he's not capable, meaning Biden, of being commander-in-chief, and that's obvious by the actions since day one when he took the presidency back in January. Maybe, he added, something like this makes the White House think twice before they do some of this nonsense. He was joined by Andy Biggs of Arizona, as well as Brian Babin, Randy Weber of Texas. You know, look, maybe it will help them think twice, but right now there isn't the will. If you would to see this through, for one thing, you don't have enough Republicans in the House. The other thing is Mitch McConnell has already made it clear that he does not want to pursue this. So it could be that the U.S., unless he does something really, really atrocious, because maybe the Republicans are being the bigger people, so to speak. You could debate that however you want. They're not pulling what the Democrats did with Trump. Maybe it makes him think twice, or maybe he figures he can get away with doing any of this. I mean, I'm really troubled with what he and this administration, the White House, happens to be getting away with. And I would just say it seems as though they're lying to us repeatedly when it comes to this border issue. And I want to know where the media is on this. Why isn't the media pounding Joe Biden and the White House? I mean, think about it if the tables were reversed. Think about if the former president were there in office. And you had thousands and thousands of Haitians storming the border there, trying to get through. And by the way, reports of them allegedly getting through. That's what came out just yesterday. The AP, the Associated Press, I give them credit because it seems like a lot of reporters are really, really scared of the White House right now. Anyway, the Associated Press came out and they cited two U.S. officials who told the AP that thousands of Haitians were coming into this country and they were being basically just released. It's that catch and release thing going on. Well, if that's the case, why don't we know? Why won't the administration come clean with us about this? Why are they telling us that they're sending them back to Haiti when, in fact, you now have the Associated Press, and not just the Associated Press, there was an ICE official that was on Fox talking about exactly this, that they are just dumping all of these people into this country. They've allegedly sent back about 1,000. The governor in Texas is saying there's roughly, 7,500, 8,000 Haitians now there. Originally, there were 15,000. So what happened? What happened to all those other people? I mean, if you're down to like 7,500, 8,000 from 15,000, and only 1,000 have been deported, where are those other people? And the media needs to ask these questions. I don't care what side of the aisle you are on. This is not a matter of partisanship. This is a matter of truth. And if we are being told lies, then we need to know that. And you want to talk about impeachable offenses. I mean, my goodness. But again, I think that there are some members of the media that are simply afraid of the White House. I mean, certainly we know big tech is afraid of the White House, right? They're refusing. I mean, case in point, think about the Hunter Biden story. It came out just yesterday morning. The Politico confirmed the laptop. So now it's okay to talk about. Don't forget, this was allegedly Russian disinformation. Social media companies actually took away the New York Post's account, shut it down when they were reporting on this because it was allegedly Russian disinformation. Look, I've had my share of run-ins myself, which is why I again urge you to subscribe to this channel. Make sure that you're getting alerts. Go to my website. This is really the only way to get the word out. Go directly to my website, trishintel.com. We've got a lot of stories there every single day, probably at least 10 stories things that I know that you're going to care about and that you're going to want to follow and that my team is working on. So you can sign up for our free newsletter that comes from me every single day, directed directly to you in your inbox. Free daily news alerts. You can shop our store. We have a Trish Regan store, a live free or die store, as I like to say, because there's lots of really great hats, t-shirts that are promoting freedom, right? Because freedom is so fragile and so important right now. And you should never be afraid to show what a patriot you are, how much you believe in this country, and how much you believe in freedom. So go check out the store. Make sure, again, you subscribe to the channel. It's really, really important right now because I'm suffering from this. I mean, I got 166,000 Facebook followers, and I mean, it's remarkable that apparently only two people get to see a story on occasion. So again, do me this favor. Go to trishintel.com, sign up for my newsletter, because I want to have an ability really to talk with you about all these things in light of what they're doing. And they're doing a lot to suppress truth. And I think that's one of the reasons why you have some of these big media companies so fearful. So fearful. All right. And we're seeing that really across the board. And that's a problem. It's a problem because it's really a threat in so many ways to our democracy. Chuck Schumer out there saying that, you know, we have to welcome these Haitian migrants that are coming by the thousands into this country. It's effectively inhumane not to do so, and un-American not to do so, and that we have a process and they should be able to establish refugee status here, et cetera, et cetera. This is what he was saying just yesterday. And he's telling Biden, look, you're not going far enough. You got to stop expelling the Haitian migrants. I mean, this is, it's really actually pretty remarkable because don't forget, we have a law on the books, right? The Supreme Court said, yeah, you know, the stay in Mexico policy, that still applies. So you have a sitting U.S. Senator, House Majority Leader, basically saying the president should ignore the law. We know he ignored the law on the whole real estate issue with the, you know, basically forcing landlords to have to continue to carry people that couldn't pay the rent because of COVID. I mean, that was one thing he tried. And now this. I hope that Biden doesn't go down this path. This may have something to do with the effective cover-up that seems to be happening. They don't want to tell us what's really going on, perhaps because they know that they are going to suffer from extraordinary displeasure from their own party, whether it be AOC, whether it be Ilhan Omar. I told you about her on yesterday's program, about what she's saying, effectively blaming systemic racism for Haiti's problems and saying that we need to fix it and Americans owe them that. So there's a lot of sort of emotion that's going into this issue that is being highly, highly, highly politicized. And that's dangerous. It's dangerous because you know what? We need to protect our laws. We need law and order. We need to protect our court. And don't forget, you know, the same cast of characters is also pushing to have the balance redrawn in the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And they intend to do that by actually just putting more justices onto the court, otherwise known as packing the court. It would be effectively a kind of coup, a supreme coup. That's why I've put the website down there. I want you to go and sign that petition, supremecoup.com. It's really important right now because they're looking. The White House actually has a commission set up to study the impact of putting more justices on the court. If that happens, God forbid, I mean, this is why it's so important you go and sign that petition, supremecoup.com. If that were to happen, that would actually put Americans and America in a pretty vulnerable state, similar to some of those Latin American banana republics we've seen, like Venezuela comes to mind, or Argentina, any of these countries that have packed the courts. And then thereafter, you run the risk of only single party rule. Think about the Chavistas, right, that are being continued after Hugo Chavez. He died, Nicolas Maduro took over, and nobody else had a chance. I have reported on that extensively. Nobody really has a chance because guess what? The courts, everything is in one team's favor. So this is pretty serious stuff. Do go to the website, supremecoup.com, sign up. Another story that we just have to talk about because we're on this theme of government irresponsibility is what the Federal Reserve is doing. You saw just yesterday, Jerome Powell coming out and saying, guess what? We're leaving rates. We're leaving rates at record lows, near zero. At least for the rest of the year. We're not thinking about raising rates until at least next year, despite despite the reality that the FOMC, the committee itself, actually is predicting more inflation than they originally thought. The inflation expectations have gone up since June. They keep going up. And their GDP, in other words, the growth of the overall economy that they're anticipating, that's going down. You know, I could have told them this way back when. In fact, if you've been watching this show, again, do sign up, subscribe to the channel. Do me that favor. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. If you've been watching this show, you know how I have been pounding the table on inflation. I've been concerned about it now for at least a year. Because you just can't, I mean, it's like the laws of physics here. You just can't print that much money and not have an inflationary effect. So they're going to continue printing. Jerome Powell indicated, or the FOMC indicated in their statement, that they may be winding that down by their next meeting. That would be November 2nd. So mark your calendar, November 2nd. We'll see whether or not they're going to start that taper process. They're out there buying all these bonds so that they can effectively suppress interest rates, which is good in that, you know, what it makes borrowing cheaper. So your credit card rates are cheaper, your car loan rates are cheaper, your home mortgage rates are cheaper. But simultaneously, it kind of messes things up in terms of the risk that investors are willing to take on, because you're not going to make any money lending it to somebody else. So instead, you tend to pour your efforts into the equity markets and you take on much more risk than you normally would. And that is reflected in the markets right now. So this could end badly. I don't think just yet. I actually still like the markets at these levels, despite all the concern I spoke about. I still like the markets. I still think we're growing a little bit, unless they're successful in massive tax hikes. And then, you know what? All bets are off in terms of growth. And we can talk about that if it really comes to being. But I'm hopeful that there are still some sensible people like Joe Manchin in the room that are going to prevent something like that. One other story I wanted to talk to you about today, and it has to do with sort of the power of the individual and the importance of the individual. I saw a study that came across my desk about diabetes, and it's surging among children. And this is really disturbing to me, because the number of young people with the most prevalent form of diabetes, type 2 diabetes, has nearly doubled from 2001 to 2017. I mean, in 16 years, it's up 95%. What the heck is going on? I mean, I know we can blame the food companies, and there are those that would make the argument that the food companies are effectively like big tobacco, right? The food companies have a hand in this. They know how addictive some of these food products are. And while that, you know, may be part of it, I still come back to the individual, because you know me, live free or die. I believe in the power of the individual. And this is why we as individuals need to do more to protect our kids and to make sure that they're eating well and that they're healthy. And we make choices for ourselves and for them, and we need to make the right ones. So I want to tell you about a company that I'm really, really, really impressed with. I mean, this is just a tremendous company that has a theme going on called a lunchbox revolution. And I love this idea of a revolution in food, because we need it, right? We need to be able to take back our diets from these big companies that are really effectively manipulating them and making us very dependent on sugars and fats and everything bad. And our poor kids, they're dependent on this stuff too. So as individuals and as parents, we have a responsibility. And so I love this idea of the lunchbox revolution. I love this idea of an uprising in food. And this is what this company is called, uprisingfood.com. It's terrific. I love the bread. I love the crackers. And you know what's great? They're really not bread or crackers. It's all fresh. It's all gluten-free. And it has all the good stuff in it and none of the bad. And so you can eat this and get nutrients. You can be healthier as a result. Your children will be healthier as a result. It's actually incredible. There's not just this study that I told you about, the rising diabetes rate, but there's also actually a study that shows, and this is obvious, right? The minute these kids have Wonder Bread or, you know, any of these sort of carb-filled foods in the cafeteria, or if they get packed that food in the classroom, they boom, immediately, like their sugar kind of gets out of whack and they're a little bit hyper, and their ability to focus and pay attention goes down. So you want your kids getting the most out of school. You want your kids getting the most out of their diets. I should point out that this is all very, very fresh. I get it delivered to my house every month. 2 net carbs per serving. That's pretty great, right? 6 grams of protein. This is in bread. 9 grams of fiber. Again, in bread. So I want to tell you very quickly about an offer that I have worked out. I spoke to the CEO. Again, I love finding these companies and sharing their stories with you and also giving you a discount. And that's exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get $10 off your first purchase of a starter bundle. Uprising is offering all of the listeners to this program $10 off of the starter bundle. And it includes 2 superfood cubes, 4 packs of Freedom Chips. The Freedom Chips are really, really good. And I love the name, of course. So go to uprisingfood.com, uprisingfood.com/Trish. The discount will automatically be applied to you at checkout, provided you go to that URL. You can see it on the screen. So give it a try. I mean, we owe it to ourselves and we owe it to our children, really, to look out for our health and theirs. And then just one more note. I mentioned to you the challenges, I think, of big tech and perhaps the effort by some reporters to stay in the good graces of the White House. And also the big tech companies. I mean, don't forget, I think a lot of tech companies are feeling the pressure. Certainly, we've seen that with one company in particular, that would be Facebook as of late, which had a huge expose done on it by the Wall Street Journal. None of it good. And it's very disturbing. I mean, if you have young girls, you should be very concerned about what they're looking at on Instagram and on Facebook. And the company's aware of it. And yet they're still sort of feeding it up. So I think that they're very much in the crosshairs with Washington and they're treading very, very carefully. And they don't want to really make the administration mad, because if they do, then, well, you know, there's all kinds of threats out there, including breaking them up. Is it an antitrust issue? Because they've become so big. They're such a monopoly. They've become a kind of monopolistic power on speech. The other issue, of course, is the Section 230. Why do they get exempt from being sued if they're in fact a publisher? And lately they've certainly been acting like a publisher. I mean, I'm feeling it. I see it on Facebook where they won't allow things to go through for you to see. So this again is why it's just so important to me that we have a direct connection. I love that you're watching me on Rumble, on YouTube, on Apple iTunes, on Spotify, on all of these platforms, on Twitter. I encourage you again to go directly to the website, TrishIntel.com, because then every single day you're going to get all the content that I'm putting out every single day direct to your email box. And then, of course, you got to look in your email box, because there's a whole effort there sometimes to, you know, bury it down there. But the onus is on all of us right now as individuals to seek out the right information to protect ourselves, our children, our futures. Thank you again for tuning in, as always, and I will be right back here with you tomorrow.